invite your attention to the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to John. John chapter 10. Our Lord, during the days of his incarnation and ministry on this earth, set forth on a number of occasions various things that he is. We speak of these as the I Ams of Jesus Christ. In John 8:12, he says, I am the light. In John 6:48, he says, I am the bread. In John 15:1, he says, I am the true vine. In John 10:7, in our text for the night, he says, I am the door. In this same 10th chapter, verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. In John 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. In John 11, 25, he says, I am the resurrection. And in John 8, verse 58, the 10th thing he here says he is, he simply says, I am. Am what? I am what I am. I am when I need to be. I am what you need. I am everything that is worth being. I am self-existent. Tonight we're looking at this 10th chapter, verse 7, where the Lord says, I am the door. He begins in verse number 1 saying, verily, verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable Jesus spake unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the door. If there is a need for a door, there must of necessity be some barrier keeping you from some place in which you need to be, or in some place where there's something that you want. That's why we put up doors. If you need to get into your house, you need a door. If you want to keep someone out, you put up a door. If you need groceries, you go to the store, but you have to find a door. You go to the airport and take an airplane trip. Only one way into that plane, it's by the door. A door is a means of access by which we get into a place in which we need to be or in which there is something that we desire to have. A door. Here, we need fellowship with God. Salvation. We need righteousness and holiness. We need peace with God. We need happiness. We need spiritual blessings. But they are far from us. And there is a barrier between us and them. And that barrier was raised by our sin. We, in our rebellion in the Garden of Eden, raised a barrier between us and God. A barrier that puts us far from Him. And we, in our sin, are so unsightly before God that He cannot look upon us in our sin. There is a barrier. Adam enjoyed fellowship with God. There was no barrier between him and God until he sinned. And when he sinned, that barrier was raised. We were born dead in trespasses and sins. We were born estranged from God. We were born in need of salvation and righteousness, holiness and glory. We are born in need of all those things, but they are on another side of a barrier from us, and therefore we need a door. Else we cannot enter into the fellowship with God and enjoy the blessings. There must be a door opened for us into that place. And Jesus Christ declares, "I am the door." Many years ago, I heard a pastor tell of going to the state of Israel, taking a tour of what some people call the Holy Land. But during this tour, he told us that come evening time, and he saw a shepherd leading sheep from a pasture, bringing them back into a fold. And so he led his sheep into the fold, and the sheep went into the fold and began to bed down for the night, and then the shepherd lay down between the two doorposts. Other than that, there was nothing else there but the shepherd. And so this man who was telling me the story said, "I walked up to the shepherd who was lying on the ground there in that open space of the sheepfold, and I asked him, 'Where's the door?' And the shepherd said, 'I am the door.'" And sure enough, he was going to spend the night sleeping between those two posts. Nothing came in unless it came across him. Nothing came out unless it came across him. The only means of access either into or from that fold was through him. He was the door. Christ himself is the door that we need. He says, "I am the door," and sure enough, no one goes in to the presence of God, into the blessings we need, except through him. No one goes out to find pasture except through him. He's the door. I want you to see, first of all, that he is a door made available to all. Our Lord says, "If anyone enters by me." I realize there are some who would tell us that before the foundation of the world, that God chose some for salvation, and he did. And God chose some for damnation, but he didn't. But they would have us to believe that God made this double choice. God simply said, I'm going to choose to save you, and I'm going to choose to damn you. I'm choosing you to damnation. And then they say, they would have us to believe that some of these chosen to damnation may want to be saved, but they cannot, because God said, no, I chose you for damnation. I want you to see that our Lord here has indeed chosen a people for salvation. The choice to damnation was made by ourselves. That's our choice. In rebelling against God, we make this choice to rebel against God and to go our own ways. But our Lord has indeed chosen a people unto salvation, and here is salvation made available to them. If anyone, will he take one of my skin color? If anyone enters by me, will he take one of my race? If anyone enters by me, our Lord says, I put up a barrier to no man. If anyone enters by me, he shall be saved. I delight in preaching a gospel in which my shepherd says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And anyone who enters by me shall be saved. I say to you, there is nothing preventing our fellowship with God and His Christ except our own rebellion. If anyone enters by me, he shall be saved. Second, I want you to see that Jesus Christ is the door entered only by the sheep. Notice this, he says in verse 7, I am the door of the sheep. All mankind is divided into two groups. Our Lord speaks of the sheep on his right hand and goats on the left. And every one of us is either of, in one of those groups, either of the sheep or the goats. None but the sheep will enter this door. I am the door of the sheep, our Lord says. We have a lot of sheep and goats in the Caribbean. And mutton, sheep and goat is a favorite meal for many of us. And you can go out into the fields and you can see them grazing together. And to the untrained eye, you may not spot the difference. They look very much alike. If you are of an untrained eye, and you would like to know which are the sheep and which are the goats, here's a way to tell. When the shepherd goes out and calls for the sheep, he walks and they follow along behind him. If they walk behind their owner, they're sheep. But if he's got to go out there and start driving them around and driving them toward him, they're goats. So that's how you spot the difference. Our Lord is the door of the sheep. Furthermore, he's the shepherd of the sheep. He goes into the world seeking his sheep, those that are lost, and he comes leading them back in, and here they come following him. Everyone who follows the Lord into the sheepfold is a sheep. And they'll all come in through him who is the door. I am the door of the sheep, he says. Furthermore, he is the only door in verse number 7 and also verses 8 and 10. He says, I am the door of the sheep. And I'm the only one. I'm the only one. Men will tell us, well, the door to salvation is found in the baptistry. Some say it's found in the law of Moses. Some say it's found in the Sabbath of a certain day of the week. Some say it's found in a certain church. And all around us, we can hear people talking about some door of fellowship. Some will say it's found in the God of that nation or the God of the other nation. Our Lord says, I am the door. He does not say, I am a doer. He says, I am the doer, and I'm the only one. Do we not read in Scripture that there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus? Jesus Christ therefore declares, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And I say to you, that if you desire fellowship with God inside the fold of the sheep, if you desire the blessings that God has for His sheep, the only way to enjoy them is through Jesus Christ, because He's the only door. Now sectarians and religions come along and they may paint a door on the fold. They may make it look like there is one, but there's no access except through Jesus Christ. My friend, that's why we preach Christ. That's why we preach Christ alone. He is the only door. Furthermore, fourth, Jesus Christ is the door to salvation. He says in verse 9, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will be saved. Now, God is too holy to even look upon sin, according to Habakkuk 1:13. They who would approach God, therefore, must be forgiven of their sins. And this forgiveness is obtained only through faith in Jesus Christ and His redeeming blood. This is a door leading to salvation. The only way to have salvation is to enter by Jesus Christ, and you enter through faith in Him. In believing in Him, you have entered into the fold of God, the door leading to salvation. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Bear with me. I've got an allergy or something tonight that has hit me, and we're going to get through it one way or another. Just bear with me, if you will. But a door to salvation is what He is. Fifth, I want you to see that Jesus Christ is the door to liberty. Look in verse 9. If anyone enters by me, he will go in and out. He will go in and out. When will He go in? When the shepherd leads Him in. When will He go out? When the shepherd leads Him out. Why would He go out? To find pasture, to find water, to find the blessings of God. This is a door to liberty. It is a liberty to go in and out. Jesus Christ provides perfect freedom from all harm and danger to sinners enslaved by their fears and doubts. Liberty. His sheep therefore can say, through this freedom that we have, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you see the liberty? When one enters into religion, when one joins a sect, when one follows the teaching of a false preacher, what's one of the first things happens to him? Put some chains on him. Put him in bondage. Give him a bunch of laws. And tell him, you can't be a good member of our sect unless you don't do this and don't do that and do this and do the other. And they put a bunch of rules and regulations on him. Now notice this. The liberty that we have in Christ is a liberty to go in and out. It is always in His will. It is never to go away from Him, but always to follow Him. He's not driving us anywhere. He's not putting us into bondage anywhere. He does not bring His sheep into the fold and then tie them up. No! They go in and out. And they always do so with perfect liberty. Perfect liberty. Then number 6, observe that this is the door to provision. Jesus Christ is the door to provision. If anyone enters by me in verse 9, he will find pasture. He will find pasture. Now that's another thing that you will not find in religion. Did you ever notice that people in religion are always looking for something new? Did you ever notice that people in religion flip around from this church to that church looking for something new? And just look down through the ages at the different movements that have come along, and people flock to it for a while and then the movement dies out. You can look back, let's see, religion, well, even from the 1900s. Remember the fervor about premillennialism, and, you know, the people started talking their dispensationalism and all this talk, and then it came back around a little bit later. I remember in the 70s, and people were telling us, you know, that, well, you know, Israel became a state in 1948, and the generation that saw that will see the coming of the Lord. That meant that the Lord had to come back by 1988, 7-year tribulation started 7 years, 1981, and what happened? I agree. What happened? So they're going looking for something else. Why do you think there is a charismatic movement? Why do you think there are all these things coming along? It's because religion is always looking for something new. When we enter the sheepfold, we find Christ, and that's all we need. That's all we need. All our provision is in Him. If anyone enters by me, he will find pasture. God ascertains that all His sheep are well fed and nourished. His sheep can say, Christ is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Observe. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. People in religion are always running from that clump of grass to that clump of grass in a bare and desert place, trying to find some place of nourishment. And the Lord takes His sheep into His pasture and they lie down to eat, because the grass is going all around them. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the still water. People in religion are running from mud hole to mud hole and from dry cistern to dry cistern, trying to find some kind of a nourishment. And the Lord brings His sheep down to still water. I'm told that sheep will not drink water if it's rippling. So the Lord says, I'll make it calm. By His grace, He does. He leads me beside the still water. My friend, if Christ is your door, you've got your needs met. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. Number 7 and last. Jesus Christ is the door to abundant life. He says in verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The thief. Now who's he? The false religionist. The thief. He's the person going to come to you and say, well, you know, it's good that you believe in Jesus Christ, but, you know, that's really not enough. Christ is not enough. Who has the audacity to say that anyway? Christ is not enough. Well, no, you know, and they'll go through what else you need. Jesus Christ says, the thief comes, and that's what he's doing. He's going to make merchandise of your soul. He's going to try to tempt you away to his sect, his church, his kingdom, He wants you to be his follower. He's the thief. He's the thief. Mr. Baptismal Salvationist comes along and says, it's good you believe in Christ, but it's not enough. You need baptism. Mr. Sabbatarian comes along and says, it's good you believe in Christ, but that's not enough. And he tries to steal you away with trying to get you to worship one day of the week. Mr. Sabbatarian is the eldest son of Mr. Legalist. And Mr. Legalist will say, Christ is good, but Moses is better. And, you know, it's good that you believe in Christ, but you need to keep Moses' law. And on we go, you see. And what are they doing? What are they doing other than making merchandise of men's souls? Stealing, killing, and destroying. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life. And our door is the life. He is the way into life, from death into life, because he is the life. I am the life. And then he says that they may have it more abundantly. It's not merely life, folks. It is abundant life. All who follow the false shepherd shall suffer the final end of the false shepherd. The false shepherd, the hireling, is told by our Lord that I will say to you in that day, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Here is our Lord telling us that I'll give you life and give it to you abundantly. I'll give you everything you need. I'll answer all your prayers. Ask whatever you will, I'll give it to you. Moose, you're telling me the Lord gives you everything you ask for? Yeah. What do you ask for? Ah, now, there's the difference. If you ask people in the world, what would you pray for? If you wanted God to give you something, what would you pray for? Some of us are old enough to remember the 60s. And you may remember a prayer written by a very popular singer back then. She sang this prayer, and then I think she got stoned and drowned just a few days afterward. But such it is in the world. What was it? Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches, and I must make amends. And that was her prayer. That's what she wanted. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to reach me. All right? Now, that's what the world prays for. That's the prayer she prayed. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? See, that's what she prayed for. Children of God don't pray for those things. But children of God have their prayers answered. Now, for what do we pray in this abundant life? For what do we pray that our Lord says, I'll answer? All right? I pray for this. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you know what? The Lord's answering. Forgive me of my sins. He's doing that too. Answered prayer. You see? Forgive us our transgressions. Lord, give me my daily bread. By that I mean everything I need for the day. Well, folks, it's been many years, and every day the Lord has answered that prayer. Never has failed to answer that prayer. I have never had a day in my life since coming in through this door in which my prayers have not been answered. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. And you know what? The Lord's answering every prayer I pray. Every prayer. Yes. From time to time I have asked selfishly. And then the Lord showed me the wisdom of not answering that prayer and showing me how I should pray and then giving the answer to that. Abundant life. All that I need. roof over my head, clothing on my back, food in my stomach, and Christ in my life. Now, what else does a man need? I will give them abundant life. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. So, you show me, the man who says, I believe you can be saved today and lost tomorrow, and I'll show you a man who refuses to enter by this door. I'll just show you one. It's abundant life. It's life that never ends. And it's all found through Jesus Christ. He says, I am the door. Here is a door made available to all, entered only by the sheep, the only door, the door to salvation, the door to liberty, the door to provision, and the door to abundant life. That's my door. Is it yours?